Coming up on today's edition of Locked On Eagles, we're going to get into how general manager Howie Roseman turned a nightmare of the Carson Wentz situation into kind of a dream. That's coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you so much for making Locked On Eagles your first listen each and every day. Welcome in, Eagles fans, to a Thursday edition of the show. It's episode 4 this week of 5, downloaded into your phone wherever you get the podcast, free and available. Also in video form as well on YouTube. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Got all of our full episodes posted each and every day. Exclusive YouTube content as well in video form. And then we're always talking birds on Twitter. Hit us up at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase, L-O-E, and at GC. 24 underscore football, continuing to get into what has been just such an exciting offseason. The Eagles signed cornerback James Bradbury yesterday to a one-year deal worth upwards of $10 million, a little under $8 million guaranteed. For our full in-depth takeaways, we did a full show on that signing yesterday. Gino, we'll get into that still a little bit more today and kind of dive deeper into something we both touched on. I think it was in segment 2 where we hit on how Howie Roseman turned the Carson Wentz nightmare into the best case scenario. Like, there's a lot of teams that suffer that kind of fate with some of these players, and it sets them back for years, and it might give them a year of, you know, flexibility with the cap and with draft picks, you know, but they don't really maximize and learn from that mistake and do better because of it over a 3-4 year span. And so I want to get into later on how that move has kind of set this team up for sustained success. Ironically so, losing your franchise quarterback tends to do the opposite, but that move has really helped them actually move in the right direction. Of course, you know, turning a bad situation into a great one. But first, we were talking yesterday about the Bradbury move, and we started thinking about how good this defense looks on paper for the first time in a long time. Like, how many moves they made this offseason that are impactful on that side of the football, and we haven't felt that way in years on defense. So I posed a question though earlier this morning, and I wanted to ask you the same thing. When it comes to now James Bradbury, Kazir White, Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean, a lot of these moves they made on defense in the offseason, let's remove Hassan Riddick because I think it's clear he's going to be your best pass rusher, will likely lead the team in sacks. Of, you know, between Kazir White, N'Kobe Dean, Jordan Davis, and James Bradbury, who do you think is going to make the biggest impact in 2022?
It won't show up on the stat sheet, but Jordan Davis, like,
that
it
was
really
the popular answer. And for the same reasons you just said, like, not on the stat sheet, but impact wise,
right? Like, James Bradbury might show up, get 3 interceptions, have 7-8 passes defended this season, really show up and make an impact when you look back on the box score. But when you look at the other guys, the Hassan Riddicks, the Fletcher Coxes, the Javon Hargraves, their box score numbers should be elevated due to the addition of Jordan Davis. Because now that you have a single human being who could take up the center and the guard, either or left or right side, and allow the guys that have that explosiveness that they were just waiting to unlock with this scheme by having this type of player, these players are going to fill into that role now. And you could say Jonathan Gannon having continuity year over year could be the best thing for this team. But ultimately, the personnel upgrades, especially with the first pick that they made, there were rumblings and rumors about it prior to the draft once they met with them that they really fell in love with them. And it made all the sense in the world. Scheme-wise, this guy fits exactly what you want to do. Up front, they want to run more odd-style fronts where you can have a stand-up linebacker in Hassan Riddick, mixing Kyron Johnson, Patrick Johnson, all of those guys on the edge that had that explosiveness, open it up for them. Like Josh Sweat, man, he realistically should hit like a double-digit sack season. Maybe Hassan Riddick too, because the field is open for them to take on one-on-one matchups. In a division, Lou, where the offensive line play, it's getting better, but Dallas loses Lyle Collins.
Washington lost Brandon Scherff.
Yeah, Brandon Scherff is gone. The Giants are still continuing to overhaul what they have. They bring in Evan Neal. Should still be a transitional year. the Eagles are only loading up in the department where the rest of their division is weak. You're going to have six games against teams where you know right away you have that matchup advantage with the defensive line over their offensive line. And you could go down the list, and I would say at least 80 to 90% of the games will you have that matchup advantage as well. And it really stems from the inside out of this defense. Yeah. Jordan Davis makes everybody outside of that middle of the field better. At the point of attack, you're going to open more one-on-ones. In the back end, you're going to allow them to drop more into coverage. They want to be able on third down to have three guys up at the line, so you can have a guy like Kaiser White probe that middle of the field. Same with Davion Taylor, like where they can just drop back, cut off the middle of the field crossers, allow your one-on-one corners to do what they have to do, and allow the safeties to squeeze down on those deep routes.
Sure.
It's only going to make things easier for everybody around Jordan Davis and everything Howie has said about him, Andy Wydell, Jonathan Gannon. They're preaching the same gospel we are here, man. Like, Jordan Davis makes this scheme better, and it's hard to look at him and not say that everybody else is going to have a better year. You're going to look at his box score. He might have 2-3 sacks on the year, right?
He's going to be the heartbeat of the defense.
Yeah, he really is. Like, it's going to make that thing tick.
It does feel like he'll make everything go. Looking at the poll, so our listeners actually 34% said N'Kobe Dean, 32% said Jordan Davis, 24% James Bradbury, and then 10% Kazir White. I think it's interesting. I think you're right long-term that Jordan Davis is going to make the biggest impact of all of the moves of the 2022 offseason when it comes to the defensive side of the football. My only reservation, because everything you said is spot on, like he is the reason this defense is going to go, and Jonathan Gannon wants his defense to be a certain way, so they're not going to keep him off the field this year, but I just, my reservation is that Fletcher Cox is still in Philadelphia. So is Javon Hargrave, Milton Williams. Like, those are three really good players that are taking snaps away this year. So I don't know how massive the impact will be. It's not like, again, he's going to be extremely important to, as you said, how this defense works. So he's going to have to be on the football field this year. And you don't trade up for a guy like that, 13th overall with that talent, to not play him. But just with that kind of rotation, I do think that I would probably put my money on one of the linebackers, Kazir White or N'Kobe Dean. I'll say Dean just because I think, you know, this kid was a steal, a first round talent that is going to be healthy. And I think he's also going to benefit from this scheme in how much space that he can work with. And if Jordan Davis does do what we think he's going to do, I think that's really going to help Dean as well. So I think you're right. Like, impact wise, James Bradbury will probably have the best looking numbers. And as you said, he might be the one with three interceptions and a bunch of pass deflections, but it's more because of the situation he's in, Gino. Like, he's, you know, when Darius Slay's on the other side and you have one of the best slot corners as well in Avante Maddox, you know, you're going to benefit performance wise. This is more about, you know, as we mentioned, importance rather than like who's going to have the most success. And I think it's probably, honestly, one of the Georgia rookies. I think it's going to be N'Kobe Dean or Jordan Davis. But I think people are sleeping on Kazir White a little bit. Only 10%. Like, I don't think people realize how good he really was for the Chargers last year. I think White should be higher in that voting poll.
And I agree as well, because when you look at the positions that we're talking about, right, we're looking at interior, the defensive line, linebacker, and corner. Well, where is the drop-off in play between your top interior defensive lineman and Jordan Davis, your top corner and James Bradbury?
Right.
Oh, and then you go to linebacker. Who is the top guy? Like, year over year, we're going to look at the tape from week one last year when they're starting Alex Singleton and Eric Wilson.
Right. It's a combination of talent, opportunity, scheme. Everything is why I kind of like Dean and White better, but especially Dean.
Especially week one when you turn it on, you're like, linebackers can actually, like, make plays outside of the hashes. Like, they don't just have to sit in the A, B, or C gap and just plug gaps. Like, oh no, these guys in the modern day game can actually be a benefit outside of the numbers, be a benefit against the pass. And I think you'll see year over year where the position is upgraded the most would probably be due to those individuals. While at the same time, I'm counting Davion Taylor, like, almost as an addition, because he's now going to naturally be able to play more of that off-ball position, which will probably suit him better, right? So everybody kind of fills into that next slot on the depth chart at linebacker, where last year, none of those guys that were starting last year are starting this year. Am I wrong?
Like, no, Eric Wilson's out of town. On the show, they replaced
Alex
pretty much all of them.
Gone. TJ Edwards probably going to play way less than you expected him. They're still high on the team, in terms of TJ Edwards' play. But the other guys they brought in, man, like, they're too explosive to not put them on the field. Like, you talked about taking away snaps on the defensive line from Fletcher Cox, from Javon Hargrave. Like, you're not going to want to take snaps away from Davian or N'Kobe or Kaiser White because they're just that athletic that sometimes maybe if they don't miss or they do miss their run fit, they'll be able to make up for it with their
It's why as reliable as TJ Edwards is, Gino, I think it's going to be really hard to keep those other three guys off the field because of their physical ability and what they can do for sure. But all of them are going to make a way bigger impact, I think, than most defensive additions have for the Eagles over the last, I would say, four off seasons, really, since they brought in, I don't know, I mean, going back to they haven't done much defensively in the offseason the last 4 or 5 years. And so this year, by far, all of these guys are going to make an impact. But yeah, it's definitely split. You said Jordan Davis. I said N'Kobe Dean. You know, a lot of people voted for James Bradbury. I think you can make a case for Kazir White. It's an exciting situation for this Eagles defense. And a lot of it has to do with the great work Howie Roseman did this offseason. And a lot of that work that he was able to do had to do with that Carson Wentz trade a couple years ago, or last offseason. It feels like a couple years ago already. It's crazy how much things have changed for Philadelphia since that trade. I want to look at how that trade should have really only created like 1 year of flexibility with the draft and with the salary cap, and Roseman has turned it into 2 or 3 years worth of flexibility that is helping this team turn things around. So we'll get into that coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. But first, a shout out to one of our sponsors, and I've got the box right next to me right now. It's Built Bar. This is the new birthday cake puff flavor, but there's also another amazing flavor you guys got to try right now. It's the brownie batter puffs. It's the first ever marshmallow infused protein bars. Gino, man, these things, I mean, you've had them, right? Incredible.
I eat one every day. I had one right before we came on to record this show. They're great.
And if you love brownies, you're going to love this even more. It's brownie batter. Sometimes I eat, you know, half the batter of brownies before they're made while we're making them. So imagine you can lick that brownie spatula clean and get some protein in it. That is what these bars are. Unlike your candy bar, your Reese's cup, Hershey's, whatever your guilty pleasure, the sweet tooth is that has over 200 calories and a ton of grams of sugar. These Built Puff bars and the normal Built bars as well, covered in 100% chocolate. There's normally only 140 calories, 17 grams of protein, and only 7 grams of sugar in every bar. Make sure you head over to built.com today. Use the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15. And you're going to get 15% off your order, from brownie batter to birthday cake to, you know, white chocolate cookies and cream, mint brownie. Check out so many different flavors. Built Bar is changing the protein bar game. Built.com, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off. All right, Eagles fans, thank you so much for making Locked On Eagles your first listen each and every day. It's a Thursday edition of the show. He's Gino Camilleri, and I'm Lou DiBiase. Gino, I want to get into this. We talked about this a little bit yesterday because we were talking about how great this team looks on paper right now, and especially on the defensive side of the football, all the moves they were able to make during the draft, free agency, you know, signing Hassan Riddick, trading up for Jordan Davis, trading for AJ Brown, stealing N'Kobe Dean. Kazir White was a great value signing. So too was James Bradbury yesterday. And a lot of this has to do with, you know, there was a lot of moves that were made to get to this point, right? You know, trading down with the Dolphins last year, trading down with the Saints this year. There were so many different moves, you know, signing Riddick and the way you were restructuring salary caps. A lot went into this puzzle, but it's super interesting to look at what has happened since the Carson Wentz trade, because that ended an era and it felt like it was going to set you back for, normally it should. When you pay a quarterback the most guaranteed money in NFL history, he flames out a year later and you have to trade the guy. Normally that should set you back. And while right now they're still not there at the quarterback position, and we don't know if they have their Carson Wentz replacement, this trade has actually, again, it was a nightmare that's been turned into, on paper, a dream, with how Roseman has taken a horrible situation and made the absolute best of it, right? I mean, look at what he has turned that pick into. He turned it into Devontae Smith because they used that third they got from Wentz and traded up for Devontae. They used that 16th overall pick to move down and collect a 2023 first, a 2024 second. They used the 18th pick from that trade to get AJ Brown. So technically they got, Geno, out of that Wentz deal, two wide receiver ones, a first round pick in 2023, a second round pick in 2024. I mean, you guys know how devastated I was with how things went with Carson. This makes you feel a lot better. This is exactly how you recover from what should be a detrimental situation.
Kind of a full circle thing if you think about it, right? Like, how did the Carson Wentz era begin? Well, it was Howie Roseman getting out of the travesty that Chip Kelly put together. Right. By getting rid of Byron Maxwell, Kiko Alonso.
It's a hopeless situation that just turns into, again, and you don't want it to, you didn't want it to go this way, Gino. You didn't want to have to lose your franchise quarterback. But again, it's turning that mess into something salvageable is an understatement.
And we can and have lived through past experiences with teams where we're like, oh, we had the dream team here, right? Like, let's acquire all these guys who are on the back end of their career, see if we can do something. No. That didn't work out. Then after 2017, we had DNA. We're like, oh, this is going to be awesome. Like, oh, you got man. Deshaun, you got Nelly, you got Elshon. That turned that into a disaster. And then the Carson Wentz situation played out as it did. And Howie Roseman is walking away, even with signing that contract with the most guaranteed money, like the smartest man in the room. And what I look at is the distinction between a move like this, where it extends your window, versus a move where it kind of just limits your window. Like Chris Ballard, after the Carson Wentz situation, they didn't have a plan B. Like, they didn't have a go-to guy in Jalen.
Right, that's a great point, man. You see the difference between how two teams handled it and how one recovered better than the other. I've always reserved myself from, like, praising Howie from that trade because it wasn't like it was planned or the best outcome. You didn't want that to happen. But, again, it was the value he turned it into. You're right, man. Indy didn't really get – I mean, they got what, two-thirds, was it?
Yeah, two-thirds, and then they have to turn around and trade for Matt Ryan, who he's in this window where you're saying, okay, we have a couple years with this guy, but outside of that, you don't have that long-term future. We talk about this analogy of building the Formula One car, right? Like, you built the engine, you have the top-of-the-line tires, you have the team in place to really make that thing run efficiently. Well, the Eagles found their backup driver. Like, now if this guy can take it and move forward with it, hey, we're in a good situation. But if not, and let's say other pieces don't work out, right, Lou? Like, let's say on the offensive line, like, Landon Dickerson, like, takes a beating and he doesn't turn out to what you thought. Like, they've set themselves up to where if a hole in the foundation were to come into play, they can continue this window because they have young guys. They have a young core. Yeah, not everybody's going to hit. But it makes it better when you have younger guys on their second contract while still keeping assets for the future and not just sixth, seventh round picks like a team like the Rams have, right? Like, you're saying once Matt Stafford's gone, that's probably it. Like, you're not going to be able to continue to pay all of these guys and continue to have that window. For the Eagles, I really see it setting up for a multiple year window where we didn't have in 2017, the complete opposite of that, because they were doing it the way that they did back in the dream team year. Let's bring in guys who want to win one more, guys who, yeah, maybe they have the legs in Deshaun Jackson and maybe they don't. And that's what happened. But this go around, I feel much better in the present going into the future, especially in the landscape of the NFC. And I think Howie, especially once these moves started to make waves, Matt Ryan's gone, Russell Wilson's gone, I think he realizes the opportunity that is ahead of this team, because Aaron Rodgers is going to be gone in a couple years. Tom Brady's going to be gone in a couple years.
Yeah.
What else is there? What else is there in this conference?
I think he recognized, Gino, too, the opportunity he had. He doesn't want to be back in that situation where he has to trade a franchise quarterback away, because again, that is where the flexibility starts. Like, there are a lot of teams that come into draft picks and a lot of salary cap space because of their past incompetency, right? I mean, again, you didn't plan to destroy Carson Wentz or have him destroy himself. It was both. So, but he took that and said, we're going to maximize this disastrous situation to make sure that it does not happen again.
Bingo.
Because again, it should have really just been, Gino, 1 year of flexibility where, awesome, we have for a year, two first round picks. And then some teams, that's where it stops. Mm-hmm. But Howie has turned that into, yeah, we're going to maximize the now. We're going to make these, you know, use these picks to be aggressive now and get somebody like AJ Brown. But let's stretch this flexibility not only for the 2021 offseason to get Devontae Smith, but hey, the 2022 offseason too, and 2023 and 2024. You know, one offseason's worth of flexibility has turned into now four off seasons, where that trade is going to impact you all the way into 2024. And so again, it's the
probably longer, Lou, because they're probably going to move those picks around again.
Well, and it's just like the impact of what you're getting with these picks. Like you've potentially added your top two receivers for a very long time, two of the best in the game. And hopefully Jalen Hurts pans out and you use the picks to surround him. But if not, like one of those picks could be your next franchise quarterback. It's almost ironic that Carson Wentz, he in his value created a great situation for the next guy that he never had. I mean, irony is kind of sick and funny at the same. It's a twisted sense of humor.
It is. And I think you'd have to kind of give Howie Roseman a little bit of credit there in the self-awareness aspect of it, right? Because a lot of GMs, they never really learn and they go back to their old ways and they become the laughingstock, the Dave Gettleman's, right? Like Howie's been almost in Gettleman territory at times where you're like, oh yeah, this guy, like, and then he comes back and does this, right? I look at Detroit with the Jared Goff situation and the idea of extending past 1 year. Like, yeah, they took on Jared Goff's contract. They bring him in. They bring in this other pick that they got from them. But then now they're done. Like, they got Jameson Williams. Like, that's it. Like, are you sure Jared Goff is it? And if not, did you set yourself up for success for the next guy? That I can't confidently say. But about the Philadelphia Eagles, regardless of who is in the building, like let's say Nick Sirianni in 2 years just has a dump of a season and like they go 4-whatever, I'd be okay with saying, all right, who's the next guy? Because the GM has set that guy up for success, much like your quarterback, much like your defensive coordinator, whoever is in the car, whoever is part of this team to make the thing drive, they have been set up for success. The idea of not having excuses anymore, I think it goes for everybody in this building. After last year, Sirianni continued to evolve in his game plan. Like now he has all these weapons at his disposal that he didn't have last year, and AJ Brown and an even better offensive line, you could say, and a more experienced Jalen Hurts. Jonathan Gannon has all the pieces there. Special teams, we still got questions. We'll bring that up at a later date, but everything is in place, and hats off to everybody in the personnel department, Lou, like Andy Waddell, his influence on Howie Roseman the last couple of years since Joe Douglas has been gone has just been, I don't think it's been talked about enough. Like this might be the best right-hand man that Howie Roseman has had out of all of these guys that he's had next to him and Joe Douglas and Andrew Berry. Like Andy Waddell has kind of kept Howie in check the last couple of years. And I think they have just that cohesiveness that everybody in the building seems to have for once, because the dream team year, it was like Andy riding into the sunset. Like let's get all these pieces we can, see if we can maximize it. Chip Kelly thought he was the smartest man in the room, trading away LeSean McCoy, cutting DeSean Jackson. Howie Roseman even thought he was the smartest guy in the room for most of the second half of the 2010s. And now I think he's realizing we all have to be the smartest guys in the room. Like it can't just be me. We all have to be on the same page. And on paper, Lou, this team, I'm just really excited to see what happens. Like I hope they get off to a fast start and they can really get this thing going. Yeah. And it'll show that everybody is bought in to what is going on. Like that recipe that's being made, everybody has their hands in the pot and they're all being a collective unit to move this thing forward.
It's just, it's fascinating to see how things connect in football. And I think with our show, I love to connect things through the past. And sometimes it's a little bit of a stretch, but this one for sure, you can see all of, you know, how we got down this path. And it really did start with, you know, that trade of Carson Wentz. So we'll continue to get into it. Coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles, guys, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
And as we talk about the future of the Philadelphia Eagles, this upcoming 2022 season, you should get on your handy-dandy little mobile device right here. Go to the official sportsbook of the Locked On Podcast Network and the Locked On Eagles Podcast, betonline.net, and bet the Philadelphia Eagles to win more than 9.5 games. They won 9 last year.
We had about 11 in our predictions, Gino. Hit the over.
They have a better roster this year on paper. If you want to go and bet any of the futures for any of the teams, you like listening to us here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, you listen to the Locked On NFL show, you're always listening to news on the team. So what a better way to get involved than going and wagering on them. If you think you're smarter than the sportsbook, like many people do, including myself, go to betonline.net today. Do your research, sign up, make a free account, and they'll back you up with a ton of deals that they have going on all the time. It's the easiest, fastest, friendliest sportsbook that I've ever used. And it is probably the longest one I've ever had an account for because it's easy, it's seamless, and we love it here at the Locked On Eagles podcast. Go to betonline.com. BetOnline.net today, because BetOnline is where the game starts.
All right, Eagles fans, we're wrapping up this Thursday edition of Locked On Eagles. Thank you so much for tuning in and making Locked On Eagles your first listen each and every day. Kind of getting into how this Carson Wentz trade a year ago has turned into, again,
it's
it was
crazy
a nightmare.
It's only a year ago,
yeah,
man.
It's only been a year.
It feels like a decade.
Right, and just to see everything that it's impacted and how it resulted in you getting Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown and a first-round pick in 2023 and a first-round pick in 2024. Again, you never want to lose your franchise quarterback, but if you're going to, this is how you recover. This is how you maximize that and do better. Do you know, to wrap up the show, I was just thinking about this before the break. If they didn't, because Carson Wentz, like, it wasn't the only move that helped create all this flexibility and help the Eagles rebuild into, again, what I think is one of the best teams in the NFC. And again, quarterback and a lot of that, we'll see if he can really take you to the next level with Jalen Hurts. But on paper, again, they look like one of the best, most complete teams they've been in a while. If they didn't trade Carson Wentz, could Howie have bounced back this way? Like, what happens in that scenario with their flexibility? I feel like, I don't know, like there's a middle ground. They might have some, but maybe not to the degree they have.
It would be more difficult. You would have been hamstrung with a lot more cap space taken up.
For sure.
With a guy not on a rookie contract, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Probably don't have the pieces to go out and make an A.J. Brown trade. Or you do, and that's all
you
have.
Well, if you do, at least like one thing doesn't happen because you have three firsts. So
yeah, you don't get a first next year. You don't get Jordan Davis, or you don't get A.J. Brown.
Yes, one of the three does not happen. So if you still would have had, like, let's say they ran it back with Carson Wentz in 2021. Let's say he calms down and says he will play this year for Nick Sirianni, as the rumors were that that was their mindset for a little bit until they realized Wentz wasn't coming back. Yeah, you're right. Because if you have two, you would still have two first round picks. Like, let's say you move down with Miami, you could still trade a third to get up and get Devontae Smith for Carson, but you don't have two thirds. So you probably don't have Milton Williams. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, you wouldn't have three firsts this year. So you could still make that Saints trade, but then you would only have one first this year in the first round.
And then
round,
if you trade for A.J. Brown, you don't even make a pick. And
yeah,
we're just
so then you don't
on
have
a live
Jordan
stream
Davis
talking about nonsense.
Yeah, so then you don't have Jordan Davis, but there's still a hypothetical world, and this hurts me a little bit, where Carson Wentz has A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. So it's not like, again, how he's done.
Do they get that third and have enough ammo to trade up with Dallas?
Well, they still had another third,
I don't know,
in mind that they collected from the other trade. So they still could do it, but they wouldn't have all of the flexibility they have right now, which is, it's so cool to see that they made all these moves we're talking about and didn't have to sacrifice anything. So it is fascinating to see, like, again, the Wentz trade really did kickstart a lot of it, but Howie's done some great work outside of that too, with that move down with Miami, the move down with New Orleans. Like, he's trying to really have his cake and eat it too, and, you know, really strain every resource and avenue he can. And he has. And I feel like the best case scenario has played out from a year ago when that trade happened.
And that's why I always talk about this idea of the sunk cost fallacy. It's like, oh, we paid Carson Wentz XYZ. Okay, well, that's in the past.
We drafted Jalen Reagor. Don't take Devontae Smith.
Exactly. There's another one for you. Like, you have to put all the past emotions aside. And I know it's difficult, especially in Philadelphia. We always like to look at 2017.
Most emotional fan base in the world.
Yeah. We had a debate over Carson Wentz and Nick Foles 5 years ago that literally means nothing at
this
day and age.
Can't believe that was 5 years ago, man. Talk about how time flies.
It means nothing at this current point in time. Because
can you imagine going back in time and telling Geno of 2018, neither one of those quarterbacks is going to be your guy in 2 years?
I would have just saved
bananas,
a bunch of stress and anxiety from just having to deal with all those discussions. It really is one of those butterfly effect type of things. But I would just say, I think Howie Roseman really gets it. Like, going back to Kiko and the move with Byron Maxwell. It's
value-wise,
yeah,
he's the best GM in the league.
We paid the guaranteed money right away, right? But, like, are we just going to hold on to these guys because we have them? Or are we going to get out from under it? Are we going to get out from under Carson Wentz? Are we going to get out from under Alshon Jeffrey, Malik Jackson, Fletcher Cox, who we had to cut for a 24-hour period to make sure we got him on a cheaper deal that helped out the team? It's not just the move at the quarterback position. It's the self-awareness and the self-preservation to know that, yeah, this could have been my last go-around, and I'm going to make the best of it, but I'm going to set it up for the future too, for whoever is there at quarterback, offensive line, defensive line, coach, general manager. The window is open. Like, we opened the door, the windows are open, fresh spring cleaning. Things are much different than they were a year ago this time, even a year and a half ago at this time when Carson was still on the roster. But get away from this idea of the sunk cost fallacy and realize sometimes you got to take a hit to move forward. Like, getting hit on the arm in baseball, it still puts you on base. Sometimes you have to take a knock to keep going. And I think this team, and Howie Roseman especially, man, like, this guy has gotten hit, knocked down, had 7-8 standing counts in a boxing ring, and he's still getting up and fighting for this team and set this team up for arguably on paper one of the best in the last couple of years. And I just want to see it play out in the right way.
And now we got to see what happens when he doesn't have a franchise quarterback to trade away. He doesn't have all these Chip Kelly assets to move. When things get tighter like they did in 2018 to 2020, can this time he have – hopefully did he set things up where there's not as much pressure to, you know, continue moving forward. And then drafting Geno becomes way more important for sure, and making sure you nail those classes to sustain success. So again, sustaining will be the big question moving forward. But as of right now, the reconstruction of this roster, in large part thanks to that Wentz trade, looks really great on paper. Continue to get into it each and every day right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Please subscribe wherever you get the show, Monday through Friday. We're in video form as well on YouTube. And we're always talking birds on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at GC24_football, and at DBiaseLOE. Thanks so much for making Locked On Eagles your first listen each and every day. Now make sure your second listen is the Locked On NFL podcast. All of the news across the league in under 30 minutes, wherever you get your shows. For Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for watching and listening. And let's go, birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.